It's Tuesday, August 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, got a little bit of a late start, a little bit rushed, but got a great show for you nonetheless. So strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Geek News Center podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How are you? Well, I tell you, got a great show lined up for you tonight. I'm glad you're tuned in. Of course, all of you that are new, first-time subscribers, I want to thank you for checking the show out for the first time. And of course, make sure you stay subscribed for a few shows to find out what the show is all about. For all of you that are long-term subscribers, I want to thank you for being part of the Ohana here, being part of the family. And, wow, got a lot of stuff lined up, a lot of stuff to go into tonight. I'm going to get into a few things. I want to essentially kind of catch you up on what's going on around here. I'm very, very quickly approaching my retirement date from the Navy. And, boy, it's just like the clock is just spinning. I just I keep looking at the calendar, and my eyes keep getting wider and wider. And, I'm officially not retired until December 31st. And what we do is we have a period where I use all of my excess leave, which I have 60 days of vacation time build up. And then I get some time, and they give us a few days to go find housing and all that stuff. So, and plus I've got vacation days to use on this side. We have to use vacation days on a fiscal year, which is October 1 to September 31st or September 30th, how many every days are in September? And so I've got like 20 days of vacation time to burn now between the end of September. So really, I've got tops 3 or 4 weeks worth of work left. And this coming week, I'm actually in a class. It's essentially a transition class. I've went through it once, but they have us go through twice. And it's a transition assistance. And this is where they teach guys like me that have done 24 years of active duty to transition to the civilian life. And so I'm ready to hit that class, and they tell you about all your benefits and everything else that you have as a retiree. Now, I have to laugh. People say, "Oh, you're retiring. Congratulations." Well, not really. I still have to work. It's not like the retirement's that good. It's not. It's a nice retainer for the time spent in, but definitely I'm going to have to earn a living with three young children and a wife wanting a home. I'm definitely going to be working for many, many more years to come. But I tell you, the house hunting's been interesting and confusing and challenging and nerve-wracking. The housing market here is just so beyond out of control. And we have actually debated whether or not we even want to buy. And just because of the pricing is just so crazy. We get 10 people tell us, oh, buy. And 10 people tell us, wait, because the market's, unlike the mainland, the market in the mainland has dropped. Housing, it's a great buyer's market in the mainland. Here in Hawaii, the subprime mortgage levers hasn't been such an effect here, primarily because those that were in trouble, they had aunties and uncles and grandparents that kind of helped them out in many cases to get out from behind the eight ball, where the number of foreclosures here have been relatively low as compared to the rest of the nation. But the prices of homes have stayed consistently high. And I've had a price range I've been working in, trying to stay within a specific budget. And we are at a point now where we've definitely picked an area where we want to live. Good schools, good community. It's a little area. It's called Mililani. Now, we had thought about living in a different area as well, but I didn't like the commute. Basically, everything else that you know, driving, and it just, you know, the way the traffic's tied up. So I think we've settled on that area, and now it's whether or not I can afford a little smaller house or a bigger townhouse or townhome. And we walked into and walked through a townhome today that had, unbelievable, it was 1,900 square feet, but it was definitely one of those units that need some work. The kitchen had been done, but, you know, I'm sorry. Some people, I don't understand what some people really are thinking. A kitchen floor with black and white tile. Almost like checkerboard. I told the real estate agent, well, I can see where, and it's brand new tile. I said, well, I guess I can see where we're going to be putting carpet down here if we put an offer in this house. And it had kind of a weird extension to it. And in other words, you know, we just haven't found the exact thing we want. And, you know, it's tough. It really, really is in this market to find. If I had another $200,000 to spend, it would be no issue. We could probably pick a house in 2 days, but because we're trying to be efficient with our dollars and still be able to eat. gosh, it's been fun, but enough on that. We'll just keep you advised and let you know how it goes. But hey, I was really ecstatic. Angelo, my lead developer over at Raw Voice, he sent me an email saying, hey, Todd, the stats are done. You know, phase one is done. Go ahead and take a look. I walked through those and been using it for a while now. I'm so blown away. We've done, it's like a dream come true, because what I envision podcasters needing for media statistics has finally come to light. And the team has worked really hard. Rob Cifuto, my marketing director, Jeff, Brian, Angelo, Phil, everyone's come together and we've put together a package, at least in phase one, that I'm really proud of. And the best thing about this package is that we're not only going to be able to help individual podcasters, but any company that's got a media out there, we've designed this package so we can license and sell it. So if you're looking for a solution for media, we've got one for you now. And definitely would like to get a few companies in on using it. And we'll probably give some discounts initially to some companies to get them on board. And while we're growing this thing out a little further, but it's fully functional. And all the people that are on some of the ad deals and stuff are on the using it. I'm turning them loose tomorrow morning, because we had to get some integration stuff done between the different websites and the system, and it's all done. Matter of fact, this is one of the reasons why I was running a little late on the show tonight, because we were testing it, and looks like the interface works good. Knock on wood, everything's going to go good. We'll cut everyone loose. Well, I've got a bunch of people to cut loose tonight after the show, so it's going to be a late night here. So that's one of the reasons I was rushed, plus I'm dealing with an 11-year-old who thinks she's going on 22, and you just know there's going to be one that's going to give you gray hair. Well, I've already got some. Going to be losing more. Now, there's a couple of people in the audience that are Wikipedia experts, and if you are a Wikipedia expert, I need some help. And the only reason I saw this is I saw it to pop up in one of my searches that I do through Technorati or one of those places where I have a search for podcast awards, and that the Wikipedia entry for the podcast awards got flagged. There's something wrong with it. There's not the right references. I didn't put it up. Someone else did. But if any of you are Wikipedia experts and know how to mitigate the issues that they have with that listing, please go over there and hook that thing up and make it right. I definitely appreciate it. All right, what else have I got going on here? I think, I got that covered. Not too much. It's all pretty quiet, and should be a busy week though, because I'm going to be on and off email during the day. So if you reach out and touch me, it may be a few hours before I respond, just because of the schedule I have going on here. Do have a lot of stuff to talk about in the show tonight, and you keep your great comments coming, of course. Keep the voicemails flying in, too. You can send a voicemail on the comments tonight or on the commentary to 619-342-7365. Or you can, of course, always send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. And beyond you got all of you supporting the show, I want to thank the sponsor for supporting the show as well. So did you know that GoDaddy.com makes it easy for you to customize your own virtual dedicated server? Choose one of three popular plans or select your own Linux or Windows server with all of the plan options you need. You can get one of those over at GoDaddy.com. When you get to the checkout counter, if you want to save big bucks, enter the code TODD when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order, or enter the code GEEK5 when you check out and save an additional 15% off your order of $20 or more. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey, one thing I did do this evening as well, early on this evening, is we have a rule that we fairly strictly enforce over at blueberry.com. And that rule is that if you haven't produced a podcast in 90 days, essentially we strike the show from the listings. And I'm just simply amazed about the number of shows that get going and they get to show 22, get to show 7 or 8. Or even shows I saw tonight, shows that are removing, were up in the 50 and 60 range, that just quit. I mean, I what I do is I load the, I have an admin interface, and we have it flags shows that haven't updated in 90 days. I go to their website to make sure that either the RSS feed hasn't updated, you know, maybe they've changed something, and I do a search for them on the internet to see if they've moved their podcast. But generally, and how many of you have run into this? You're listening to a great show, and all of a sudden, just like that, the shows disappear. I just saw show after show after show. Something happened in April. April was not a good month for podcasting because there was just so many podcasters that just quit. And I think what it is that there's so many different shows out there right now. I am sure that it's proving to be very hard for podcasters to get attention enough to, you know, consider the shows worthwhile to do. And, you know, I get discouraged when I hear someone that's been podcasting a couple of months say, oh, I've only got 300 listeners. I'm like, well, great. You know, that's a great number for, you know, only being going 2 months. And, you know, for the average podcaster, that's a great number to, you know, to start building on. But many of them think, oh, that's just too low. It's not worth my time. You know, how many of us get a chance to talk to an audience of 300 every week or once a month? You know, not many of us, that's for sure. So if you're an aspiring podcaster out there, you know, if you get ready to start, in my mind, I always tell people, try to go a year. At least go a year and see how your show does over a year-long time. But, yeah, it was just amazing to see the number of shows that have dropped. And you know what you should do as a listener is if a show's disappeared and you haven't heard from them, and just, you know, check up on them, say, why did you quit? You know, or please continue. And that way it'll, you know, encourage those guys that are new to this media to continue creating content. And I think, of course, we're trying to help them over there at Raw Voice and helping them to, you know, have a little extra motivating factor by putting a few dollars in their pockets, some considerably more, obviously. But in the most part, we just want to help podcasters make it worth their while to create the media. And one of those ways is through our sponsorships. And these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. And, you know, today I had a gal on the telephone, and I had already pre-set up the meeting. I had gave her the GoToMeeting link. I had we'd went into a conference call because Jeff, my content director at Raw Voice, was on the call as well. We were doing basically it was an advertising call. And the gal was a little bit confused. I'm like, did you load up in the window? Did you see what I'm demonstrating? She's, oh, I haven't done that. And she got in, and it just made made our meeting go so much quicker. It really, really did. So check it out. You can get unlimited meetings for one flat rate, and you can try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, let's move on here. And I've already asked you, talked about the Wikipedia entry, and it's over at, you just go to Wikipedia and search for podcast words, you'll find it. today I was playing around earlier this morning with a new service that's out there. It's called Madcast. And I don't know about this. Played around with it a little bit, and I didn't like how they put their... What it was is you put a little JavaScript code into your blog, and I guess any place in your blog, and somehow it detects where the end of your title is, and then of your blog post, and it puts a little icon, which if you click, loads a little AJAX screen that allows you to send that information to someone. You can email someone it. You can add it to the different social sites out there. So, you know, it was pretty nifty, but you had no control on where the little icon placement was, and that irritated me a little bit. So I took it off, and I sent them a email saying, hey, how do I control where this thing gets dropped? And, you know, I'm kind of laughing tonight because here I am looking at their website over at madcast.blogspot.com, and they don't even have the thing on their own website. I'm like, hello? You better drink your own Kool-Aid, folks, if you're going to use this thing. And obviously, if they're not using it, it makes me wonder. It got good reviews from TechCrunch and some other sites. So I guess we'll see what happens with it. It is a pretty nifty little tool, but, you know, come on. They need to drink their own Kool-Aid and run this thing. Along with that, I believe they are responsible for AddThis.com. And this is I've seen these widgets before, these big, huge widgets before that I've never really thought, I wonder why are they using that, but I've never really clicked on one before, but I clicked on it today and saw what the capabilities of it was. I said, oh, that's pretty cool. And it brings you to a window where it has blog lines, NewsGator, a NewsBurst feed reader, News is Free, Yahoo, NetVibes, MyMSN, MyOL, TechnoRowdy, FeedLounge, NetNewsWire. So you can add all of those. You can add the feed to those different services out there. So that's another little cool tool that you can use on your blog to help get more take up by folks that are, you know, and if you don't want to stick those little widgets on your site yourself, you can have a separate page for it. So link to that will be, of course, up in the show notes tonight. All right, there was an article over on Zen Habits. And I think this is pretty good. How many of you are pack rats? How many of you are digital pack rats? I know I'm a digital pack rat. I've got hard drives here that's full of stuff that I'm afraid it's, you know, it's probably 5 years old that I think, oh, I can't let that go. If I let that go, I'm going to need that at some point. It's just like paperwork. If you haven't, of course, except for IRS, if you haven't used it for at least 3 years, you might as well get rid of it, right? But here are a few symptoms if you are a pack rat. Do you have more than 20 folders and subfolders in your documents folder in your hard drive? I do. Is your list of internet bookmarks long and overwhelming? Mine is. Is your email program nearly full? It's always full. Do you have multiple duplicates of photos? Nope, I have those very organized. So it goes on and gives a list of items here that will indicate whether or not you're a digital pack rat. I think you don't have to worry about it. You know, it's not like stuff is laying around, but it might be hard to find. But they've got some cures here for you that you can use. Here's some suggestions. Target one folder at a time. Choose only the important stuff and trash the rest. Simplify before organizing. And that's what I've done with my documents folder. It's very organized and stuff goes in very specific places. So I don't have to worry about, I know the layout of my directory system. If you haven't done that, that really will save you some pain down the road. And, you know, years later, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that file should be in this subdirectory because it's of this particular type. But they've got some tips here on how you can purge and not be such a digital pack rat. I think all of us probably could use some of these tips and tricks from time to time. All right, some senators are getting a little bit testy with the folks over at SoundExchange. And their statements to the SoundExchange, and specifically it's the two senators who introduced the Internet Radio Equality Act, have some pretty strong words saying, don't use negotiations to demand DRM. So they're cracking down on the sound exchange verbally. And then we found some more information out too, which I have in a later article. I should have it tagged right beside this one, but I'll tell you now that the sound exchange is not allowed to lobby or to do any form of, you know, lobbying congressional reps. And it turns out they've gotten caught doing that. And when I get to the article, I'll see if I can talk about that a little more in case I've missed some of the key points here. I've got some stuff highlighted down that article. But I will, you know, that sounds to me like the sound exchange, which is an arm of our good friends, and I'm saying that sarcastically, of the RIAA. So we'll see what happens there. But maybe there's some hope yet that the congressional representatives are starting to get tough on the sound exchange. All right, there's a eWeek article. It's in the Linux and open source section saying that Microsoft is fracturing the open source community. And I'm seeing more and more of this. This is like the third or fourth article of this type. And they're saying, is a Linux civil war in the making? And, you know, they're asking all kinds of interesting questions. And they're saying that Microsoft has succeeded in fracturing the Linux and open source community with the patent indemnity agreements that is entered into with several prominent vendors. So we will see what happens here, but they're saying, eWeek is saying that the strategy behind this is to drive a wedge in the open source community, unsettle the marketplace. And with Redmond having about 235 of its patents, which they think Linux is violating on, they're using the power of those patents to kind of put their fingers on these different companies that have stuff that may be, essentially violating some Microsoft or some of their patents. So we'll see what happens here. But, you know, if you can't mitigate, litigate, right? And I think Microsoft is in the mitigate mode right now before they go into the litigate mode. And they're just, you know, they're dangling that carrot out there. And whether people like it or not, the person that holds the patent has the most money essentially wins, really. So we'll see what develops in this, but this is a great article. Those of you that are, big fans of Linux, I'm sure you're just grinding your teeth over this, and I'd love to hear your feedback on this, especially if any of you are open source developers out there or work within the open source community. I'd like to hear some personal perspectives on where you think this is going. Now, kind of in some weirder and weird news, there is a 59-year-old German lady who for most of her life has had headaches and nosebleeds. Well, it turns out when she was 4 years old, she was carrying a pencil and she fell down and that pencil jabbed herself in the forehead. And apparently it went in just right and missed some vital parts of her brain. But technologies had improved. And they knew it was in there. Technology has improved and doctors were able to go in. Now, check this out. The majority of the pencil, some 8 centimeters, that's 3.1 inches, was taken out in operation in a Berlin clinic. Holy my goodness. Think about that. 3.1. Hold your fingers up and look at what about 3 inches is. And then imagine that being jammed into your... No wonder she had headaches and nosebleeds. Now, they're saying they weren't able to pull out about 2 centimeter. Now, here's, doesn't make sense. 8 centimeters is not, is that right? 8 centimeters is not 3.1 inches, is it? How can that be? I'm looking, thinking about centimeters. Those of you that are not, those of you that listen to this show that are outside the United States, you're like, is he a knucklehead? You know, I don't know why the United States is not on the metric system. I really don't. But I think someone's got their math there wrong. But they're saying that they couldn't take out 2 centimeters of the tip. That makes more sense. 2 centimeters, yeah, that's not as big. I don't think that pencil was 3 inches. I don't have my little handy math calculator here. But no, I don't think she had that. I don't think she had 3 inches in. That doesn't make sense. Okay. The But anyway, she feels better. Headaches have gone away. Wow. That's simply amazing. It really is. Now, how many of you have ever traveled to a foreign country and who have had maybe some problems with the local police? I know that I have, from time to time, had been down in Mexico and maybe was driving a speed limiter, maybe a little bit over, and have gotten pulled over by the local police officer. And, of course, you know, the ticket has to be paid right on the spot. You know how that works. Well, it turns out that they got a little problem in Thailand, and Thai police officers who break the rules are now going to be forced to wear hot pink armbands featuring the Hello Kitty icon on it. Police officers that are caught littering, parking in prohibited areas, and arriving late for work are going to have to wear the Hello Kitty armbands. Oh, gosh. That's just, it just cracked me up and thought I'd share that with you. All right, this next article is pretty interesting. Over the last couple of years, the company that was originally started as Lindows, L-I-N-D-O-W-S, which changed their name eventually to Linspear, has a CEO who really kind of shook up the market for a while. They did had some battles with Microsoft and won. Then they did something pretty controversial. They actually had a partnership with them. And this Lindows operating system, actually Linspear operating system, you know, it had its a little bit of a fan base. People use it. I wonder if anyone in here actually used, does anyone on the show actually use Linspear? I'd like to hear that as well. But anyway, the CEO has resigned. CEO Kevin Carmody has resigned and walked away from the company. And he had decided it was time to move on. But he's going to be involved in some other things, as long with working on one of the presidential campaigns. But, you know, I haven't followed what's been going on very closely with Linspear in a while. I'm going to have to get re-educated on this, because when they, I think I had followed it pretty close back in 2001 when they were known as Lindows, and may have even got some early beta software from them, if I remember correctly. But they released a kind of a Linux rev of this, and it's called, what is it called? It's called it's getting ready to be released, called FreeSpire or something like that. But if any of you out there are using Linspear, I'd love to hear from you. I really would. And let me know what you think about it, if you're using it, what kind of software, you know, where's it went in the last essentially 5 or 6 years since its introduction back in 2001. This weekend, big news out of the hacker convention in Las Vegas. Pretty funny, really, because there was a Dateline reporter. They tried to sneak into DEF CON 2007 and was busted, like, big time. Apparently, Dateline was in there with a hidden camera. They had a female reporter who was carrying a purse with a lens. And they caught on to her really quick and initially talked to her and said, do you want to register as press? And you do realize we don't allow cameras in here. You know, people are here on their own free will and may get in trouble with their employers, such and so forth. And she decided to defy the DEF CON rules and say, no, I don't want to have I don't want to register as press. I don't need to. And denied being a reporter. Make a long story short, it's a pretty good article over on Hackaday. They dimed her out in the opening session and put her picture up on the screen and had cameras rolling, DEF CON cameras rolling, and followed her out to the parking lot and really shook things up. Now, I think some of the things that Dateline is doing is very, very good. You know, To Catch a Predator, that series has done just wonders, and I think they need to continue to do more of that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think they were trying to catch a hacker is what they were trying to catch. And instead, it would end up being his tables were turned, and it was To Catch a Reporter. But there's a good article over on PC World as a follow-up that talks about an individual who went undercover for Dateline as well when they were doing some investigations with computer repair shops back in 2002. And again, links to the report on what they found, which really wasn't very pretty on some of the... Basically, what they did is they took a computers that were configured the same into repair shops, and all it needed was a cable reconnected and some of the charges that they incurred over that. But it talks about the, you know, the integrity of the investigation and what they did there. So it looks like Nightline is essentially has not commented on it. They say they don't comment on their reporting collecting techniques. But this gal was pretty scared when she left. She had this big mob of geeks following her out. Now, no one did anything. They taunted her somewhat. But I'm sure she was a little bit nervous. If that had been if it had been my wife or girlfriend or whatever it may be, or whoever's, you know, if she's, I don't know if she's married or not, but seeing that, I think I'd have been a little bit fearful for her. But they left her alone. They just they made sure she knew that she wasn't welcome to be there. All right, you know, this next article, I'm shocked. I really am. And but I guess I understand. I've lived in some areas before that, you know, I have had to have an alarm system, and I've always realized that I could come home someday and a window could be busted and there could be stuff missing. And, you know, I've always took precautions on, you know, basically putting stuff away. But, you know, I figured if crooks really want something, they're going to get it, right? Well, there's a guy that lives in an apartment, and I don't know exactly where he is. And this is an older story, but it just made the news or made some link today. But I thought I would share it with you because it's pretty funny. But how would you like to have a medium rare laptop? It appears this guy stuck his laptop in a oven for safekeeping. That's where he put it when he was at work. Well, I guess his girlfriend came home and decided she was going to cook, and she preheated the oven to 350 degrees with his laptop in there. I just leave it at that. You can look at the pictures, but the kicker of this is the last two paragraphs of the story. You look at the pictures and then read the last two paragraphs. That's where the punchline is for this. And if you haven't seen this before, you know, share this with your friends, but do not put your laptop in the oven, okay? For safekeeping. There are definitely better places, like in your bag, in your car, and carry it with you. All right, Slashdot is reporting that the Marshall Space Flight Center has developed designs for an array of asteroid interceptors. And what's special about these asteroid interceptors, and this comes as kind of a surprise, is that they're nuclear warheads on them. And they're up to 1.2 megaton using, they actually list the type of nuclear warhead. But they've got hypothetical missions for the designs based on they've got a fancy word here, APHIS, APOPHIS size Earth impactor 2 to 5 years out. And they're saying that the nuclear standoff explosion are assessed to be 10 to 100 times more effective at deflecting than the non-nuclear alternatives, and it was done in a study. Now, they're predicting on April 13, 2029, this is actually the name of an actual meteorite that could be, it's going to be actually passing close to Earth, closer than our geosynchronous satellites. Wow, that's really close. And I wonder if they're going to actually do a little experiment on this thing and see if they can move it out of the way. It's hard to say. They're not saying that, but it is nice to know that they have got some plans. If you know, if they have some you know, some advance warning that something's going to happen. You know, I think the main worry is if that a comet or something is unknown. Is inbound from, like, you know, it comes out from behind the sun or someplace where they haven't been able to see it, where we could end up in real big, big trouble. But we'll see what happens here with this, and we'll see what they see what else news is run. But it's good to see that they're thinking over there. So in case we need to employ a nuke on an asteroid, I think that would be I think that'd be a cool thing to do. Better than extinction, I guess. All right, the Federal Trade Commission is going to examine targeted advertising. They're going to be hosting a two-day forum on targeted advertising in November following a series of complaints by privacy groups. And the FTC is going to have a town hall meeting, and it's going to be a way for the agency to learn more about current practices in targeted advertising. So I don't know how they're going to do this and where they're going to hold it, but it'd be nice if they allow public commentary. I'm sure it's going to be companies in the space that are going to be allowed to speak. I don't know how they're going to do this, but we'll see if we can find some more information out about this. But it'd be nice to have, you know, to be able to, if they allow us to submit stuff for the record, that might be pretty cool too, where people could send in their commentary as well. I guess this is going to be the, they're going to be having it November 1st and 2nd in Washington, D.C. And this will be the second forum focused on targeted advertising. Okay. This is, the last one they had was back in 2000. So they're going to look at new technologies since that time point. All right. Moving on here a little bit. I found a link by Robert Scoble's link blog. It's called FeedBuddy. It's at feedbuddy.de. And it essentially allows you to sign up. It adds your current feeds. In other words, you can upload an OPML file, and then you can see who else is reading the same feeds, which is, you know, I guess it's kind of cool. I don't know. I don't know if I want to see who's reading exactly what I'm reading, but they've kind of targeted this as a kind of like a mini social community. So if you're interested, there's a lot of people using it right now. There's 161 feed buddies currently. So I'm sure if every one of you went over there and registered and uploaded your OPML files, we could all be buddies together on feedbuddy.de. All right, Engadget is reporting that Apple is facing a patent lawsuit over the iPhone keyboard. It appears that a Florida-based company is taking aim at Apple, and they're claiming that the touchscreen keyboard infringes on a patent it has held since 2004. And the patent looks to be, the description of it looks to be pretty close to what Apple has done here. And they're going to see if they can get on the cash bandwagon here by making Apple license it. So we'll see what happens with this one, how this one does. And they filed, where did they file the lawsuit? They filed the lawsuit in federal court in Texas. So we'll see if this moves forward or not. But, you know, there's been touchscreen keyboards before, hasn't there? Apple's is, I'm positive I've seen touchscreen keyboards before. It's not like it's the first thing. Maybe it's the way they've employed it is probably the reason for it. Along with some more information on the iPhone, it appears that some hackers have been able to work through a SIM workaround. And those of you that are in countries that, you know, you can get hacked SIMs, you might be able to buy an iPhone. So it appears that they've been able to unlock an iPhone using a hacked SIM and some little tricks of the trade. So we'll see how big this is. Now, what will happen here is that probably many of the apps won't work. It's hard to say. We'll see what more comes of this. But definitely there is a hack out to unlock an iPhone for those of you that live in countries that are able to get these SIMs. Now, the next challenge is getting your hands on an iPhone. You probably have to have someone in the United States order it for you. I don't know. I don't know if you can order from overseas and have them sent or not. Has anyone done that? Has anyone outside the United States ordered an iPhone and had it sent to you? How many of your Xbox 360 users? How many of you have a gaming console, a Microsoft Xbox? There was a study done by a Japanese thermal expert who examined the Xbox 360 to figure out what was wrong. And this is pretty revealing here. It looks like Microsoft really screwed the pooch on this particular design and this game box. And this is why they're going to incur about $1 billion in losses to repair or replace these Xbox 360s. So I have a link up in the show notes. It shows you the comparisons between the old and the new and the mods that they've made to help, relieve the issue with the new boxes that are coming out now. Of course, the big news that happened this weekend, and this happened actually while I was taking a final, and it's, you all are on your A game because I was taking a final exam, and my instant messenger started popping up, and I wasn't answering it because I had a test going on, a time test. And so as soon as I got done with part one of the test, I looked at all the instant messages that came in. It says, oh, fake Steve Jobs outed. Daniel Lyons from Forbes magazine. And I'm like, who? You know, I was expecting some name that I knew, but it was, you know, somebody I'd never heard of before. And what's hilarious about this, and, you know, while it's been fun to kind of watch what this guy has written, was that a few years ago, this guy wrote an article that criticized blogging and those that were doing anonymous blogging. And I was like, what a hypocrite, you know, and it's, you know, pure irony that this guy would have written before, taken pot shots at the blogging community, and then, you know, written anonymously for all this time. So Mr. Daniel Lyons actually told his employer that he was the fake Steve Jobs some time ago, and now they're going to be moving the fake Steve Jobs website over to Forbes, and it's going to become a Forbes property or Forbes website. Now, no comment from Steve Jobs except to say that I guess this guy's written a book that he would not be buying the gentleman's book. And I guess after everything he said about him, I don't think, I'm secretly he probably will, but gosh, can, you know, what kind of liability, you know, there could, you'd have to be really, really careful. And so far it's, you know, he's kept out of, his employer's been cool with it, but I can't imagine, you know, if I just can't imagine finding out that someone was fake blogging to that, or anonymously blogging to that level, and being an employee, I think I'd be a little bit freaked out about it. I would, but you know, it goes with the territory, I guess, with blogging and everything else. But it's pretty hypocritical of this guy to have done this all this time and laugh about it now, but at the same point, criticized earlier. Another article out on VC investment. Apparently, it's just been large. A venture capitalist invested $7.1 billion in 977 deals in the second quarter of 2007, which is the highest level of deals reported in a single quarter since quarter three of 2001. That's huge. This is a six-year new high. It says $1.6 billion was invested in 378 seed and early stage deals and $1.3 billion in the first quarter of 2007, that works out to 39% of the total deal volume. So internet-specific companies raked in about $897 million, which was 160 deals in the second quarter, down from their first. It says U.S.-based venture capitalists invested $408 million into 34 deals in China, while 18 deals in India got $119 million. Big ticket investments in second quarter were included Calyx Networks, Juiced, and Telzima. I've never heard of two of those. So they got some huge numbers there. Good article by O'Malik over at GigaOM. Those of you that are Windows users that have an iPhone, you can now download an application to use a file browser to browse what the contents of your iPhone is. So I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. All right, those of you that are out there that like to do projects with your kids, I think this is just a total cool one, and you can order it from Make Magazine. It's called NixieTube Clock Kit. Really lets you go retro. Now, how many of you, here's going to show your age, actually have had or used one of these in a lab before, had one actually in a lab doing countdown work or keeping the time? It's totally retro, totally cool. It uses a vacuum tube. These are some do-it-yourself kits that you can buy. Now, they're a little pricey, okay? But, boy, I've got to have one. It's $150 for the kit. I'm going to get one. I'm going to put it together with my son, get the soldering iron out, have a lot of fun with this thing, and I'm going to have it here in my office. I've got to have one. I really, really do. My inner geek in me says, buy, buy, buy. So if you are if you're a big fan or have played around with, seen the Nixie Tube clocks before and actually used them in different applications, you definitely want to get over to Make and pick one of these up and put the kit together yourself. So it'd be a lot of fun. I know it's going to be a blast and should be relatively easy putting together. Now, I saw something today. I was like, wow, that's cool. Microsoft released a Halo-themed Zune only for sale to military personnel. So they're going to give away about 300 units to folks in the military, but they're going to make available this special skin Zune. And it's kind of it's almost brown in color with a different type of, looks like they did some laser etching and stuff on it. Now, I'm not going to buy one myself, but it's available for active duty in the different military retail stores. And they're saying it's going to be a little bit cheaper than the standard price point. So that's cool that military personnel and their families are going to be able to get this cheaper. So I'm sure you're going to see these things popping up on eBay. You know, just because they buy it in the exchange doesn't mean that they're not going to go out and try to resell it. So be watching eBay when those if you're a big Halo big Halo fan, I think you'll be able to get one of these relatively easy. All right, big news out of in the federal court arena today, a federal judge ruled and reversed the $1.52 billion jury verdict previously issued against Microsoft in their patent dispute case with over the MP3 digital music technology. This is good news. This really, really is. The judge has overruled it, and it's very, very interesting in that the conclusion of this is, and this came from a Altel and Lucent spokesperson said, this reversal of the judge's own pretrial and post-trial ruling is shocking and disturbing, especially since after the three-week trial and 4 days of careful deliberation, the jury unanimously agreed with us, and we believe that their decision should stand. We have a strong case, and we believe that we'll prevail on appeal. And the response from Microsoft said, today's ruling by the judge reversing the jury's $1.52 billion verdict against Microsoft is a victory for consumers of digital music and a triumph for common sense in the patent system. For the hundreds of companies, large and small, that rely on MP3 technology, the court's ruling clarifies that these companies have properly licensed the technology embedded in the 080 patent from its co-owner, industrially recognized MP3 licensor that's in Germany. It's called Fraunhofer. So, this is the big thing about this is, you know, Microsoft had licensed the MP3 encoding technology from what they thought was the correct patent holder, and then someone else was trying to come in third-party-wise with a slightly different patent and say, we are the owners of the MP3 patent. You shall pay us, and that has been reversed, so we'll see what happens on appeal. I'm sure this one will go up the court food chain a little bit further. Okay, next up on the list, if you have an iPhone, make sure you have updated it with the security patches that Apple released on, I believe, Tuesday of last week, because the Black Hat Hacker Conference had a demonstration of two methods that would allow criminals to break into and steal data from the Apple iPhone. Now, while those bugs have been patched by Apple, if you haven't updated your iPhone yet, that you're still vulnerable. And now that this information is not on the street, you know, it could be a bit of a higher risk. So, you know, Apple responded very, very quickly to that security issue. And they were worried about the conference because they knew that people were going to be demonstrating there. And the iPhone is definitely the target of much you know, much manipulation and hacking right now. So it's not surprising this was a topic, but I'm sure Apple continues to stay on top of this. All right, some little news out of Movable Type. And, you know, I have to admit, I have been behind the eight ball, just have not had enough time cycles in a day to get through all this. And it kind of brings up a point. I am, at this point, looking to hire someone to do some system administrator work for a couple of weeks. So if you are a Linux guru, primarily Fedora Core and also CentOS, drop me a line. I've got some work for you, but geeknews@gmail.com. But with the Movable Type version 4.0 in pre-release, they're going to have a big upgrade party going on starting Thursday, August 9th. Excuse me, Wednesday, August 8th, starting at 10 Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. So I wish I was going to be around, because I would go ahead and have Geek News Central updated to MT version 4. That day when all those folks are around, in case we run into an issue. But looks pretty impressive what the MT4 upgrade is going to be. So if you're an MT user and you want to see you know, what's happening with that, you'll definitely want to go over to the MT4 website that they've got set up. You can find that via sixapart.com. And I'm looking forward to getting my site upgraded to Movable Type version 4.0. And again, if you got some skills, some Linux skills, drop me a line. Let's put you to work for a little bit. I'd like to do a single contract job where I pay a fixed amount to have a certain amount of work done. And it would be starting after August 11th, after the podcast awards voting closes. All right, there's all kinds of video sites launching every day, and today was no exception. There's a site that's being launched called Nocka TV, KNOCKA.TV. It's being brought to us by the folks that created ICQ, and if any of you are ICQ fans, I still am, although I use Trillian as my primary instant message client. But I remember early on, I never used any of their messenger clients, always used ICQ. But anyway, they're going to be taking and having people submit videos, and then somehow they're going to get it arranged so that they have a TV schedule, I believe, that goes continuously in a 24-hour cycle, but only the most popular stuff is going to make it into the mainstream stream, I guess. So we'll see what they get there, but it's another website that launched and does video. Moving on to a little bit of science and combined with tech news, Microsoft was given some very exclusive access. As a matter of fact, it's access that's never been given to any other company before. In preparation for the Shuttle Endeavor pre-launch. So what they were allowed to do is their PhotoSynth team went in and took just a massive number of pictures from different vantage points, from the mock-up building to the crawler to going to the pad to getting it mounted to the external field tanks, the whole nine yards. They took all kinds of different views and built a 3D model that can be viewed around now, and you can fly around and view different things on the Shuttle Endeavor. And I was playing around with it today. Really, really cool. It really, really is. And it just goes to show you the power of using digital photography and using it combined with software and high-resolution pictures to dial in and move around and look at different things and look at the different phases, the timeline phases of how things are done. And what they're doing is experiment to look at the workflow that is normally done and give people an idea on maybe ways that they can improve their workflow and so forth. And it's, you know, essentially a big PR campaign for Microsoft to get corporate companies to come in and start using the PhotoSynth service as well. So there's some other interesting projects on the website to see as well. I'm going to link you up to the TechCrunch article that gave me the initial link into this, and then you can go and look at the different the photos and zoom around and fly around the shuttle. Really, really cool. All right, Jason Calacanis is reporting that the DMOZ/ODP editors, which we've talked about on this show before, turns out to be some of the best contributors to his new Mahalo Greenhouse. And why am I not surprised? You know, those guys, any of the people that have done previous work on the free DMOZ/ODP directory you know, have experience in putting together directories. And this is what I, what did I say in the beginning about Mahalo? I said, wow, sounds like a DMOZ ODP clone. So, Jason, if you're listening, see, I told you. Now, how are you going to mitigate? We still haven't been able to get that answer. How are you going to mitigate the, you know, the preferences people have to make sure that the articles that these folks write are, have, or, you know, these tell-alls have all the information in there that isn't, it isn't biased. I'd love to, you know, I still like to hear how you'd like to, how you're going to mitigate that. So, I had offered him to come on the show and do an interview on this before, and he'd actually said, let's do an interview, but we're never able to connect and never got a response email back. Still love to talk to him about, and I'm not against anything he's doing over there. I think they're doing great work, but, it is interesting that he acknowledges today that these DMZ ODP editors are doing a great job. I'm not surprised. I really, really am not. All right, over on the Wall Street Journal, Walter Mossberg has a good article talking about some information here on how to move a 25 gigabit file from a Mac to a PC, and some additional questions on iPhone. It's just kind of a question and answer thing with Walter. Go ahead and check out his article, have that link up in the show notes. Speaking of Endeavor, we're definitely getting ready to another trip to the International Space Station. That's going to be going down on Wednesday. And they're saying that the forecast is a 70% chance of acceptable weather. So they're going to be taking up a truss and I believe a whole bunch of supplies as well. At the same time, a Progress was able to dock with the International Space Station. So that is carried up, I guess, another 5,000 pounds or so of fuel and supply, actually 2.5 tons of supplies, excuse me. And so, you know, all kinds of fresh supplies coming up in lieu of the next space shuttle mission launching on Wednesday. So they're going to be busy, busy unpacking. Now, all of us know how to count, right? Now, can you count to 100? Okay, I think we all can, right? Well, in Congress, their computer that registered votes crashed. Okay, now, one, two, raise your hand. Everybody hold their hand up. You know, count how many people are in your room. You can count, right? They suspended votes on some legislation because they weren't going to be able to get an accurate tally of the voting. Apparently, their voting system crashed, so they adjourned until the IT people could get in and fix the voting system. Meanwhile, one of the parties said, hey, we've got our own computers that tally this information. As long as the data is the same, we should have no problem. Do these guys know what a piece of paper is? It's simply shocking. Talk about lazy. Oh my goodness. It's they have to see how each other vote. Maybe because they see if their buddy votes, maybe what happens is they decide they're going to change the vote. Instead of voting one way, they're going to vote the other, right? I'm sure that's what it is. It's all about this, you know, cat and mouse game and how people vote. Oh my goodness. Well, anyway, I have the link up. I said earlier in the show, I was talking about how the Sound Exchange was caught lobbying despite strict rules against using its money for lobbying. I'll have this up in the show notes tonight. Take a read through this. Just goes to show you the dirty play that continues with them. Also, there's a great article by TechDirt on online criticism and how companies get upset when people criticize them online because it has a very lasting effect. And I've seen that some articles that I've written on my website criticizing companies and how I still, to this date, get a lot of traffic to those individual articles and comments almost on a daily basis with people following up. So it's a pretty, the web's a pretty powerful thing, and you have a pretty, you have a very good tool to use when needed. Now, Angelo is running into a problem with his home insurance policy. And he was getting the runaround up to this point by the company and getting his claim adjudicated. And he posted something on his blog about them, and he actually got some response. And Now he's back to ratcheting it up a little bit, having it to take it to a state attorney general. So this is one thing that I always tell people, too, is if you run into trouble, and this is just general advice, if you run into a problem with an insurance company, you don't think a claim is paid fairly, there are regulators in your state that do nothing but, you can submit a complaint to them, and they will go to the insurance company and find out what's going on. That's heavily regulated, and nothing more than staffers in most states like to do, go in and find out when a insurance company is doing something they shouldn't. Now, it should not come surprise to all of you that are geeks out there that IT staffs are being challenged very heavily right now by tech-savvy employees bringing in phones that are net-capable, having different types of devices, stuff that can plug into USB drives, you name it, all the different things that are being mitigated are coming to the office, which they had a full control of before. But it's driving IT professionals nuts because they're not able to really keep a tight control on, what's coming in, what's being connected to the network, and so forth. And I've heard, and I read a couple articles this weekend, that there's been a lot of security issues with documents getting out on corporate networks that came in from via maybe a consultant that plugged into a network and they had something on there that ended up getting distributed via peer-to-peer. So there's, I think what's going to happen here over time is it's just our internal IT staffs are going to be locking our computers down even more than they do now. But some very interesting results in this article about some of the challenges facing IT people. And there's a survey also here saying, what workers are saying about what's happening with these, with these new lockdowns and how they're being tightened and not allowed to use some stuff. So go ahead and it'd be this is a really, really good article. So, all right, I've got a couple more articles queued up, but I'm going to leave it at that. They'll be in the show notes, so go ahead and keep an eye out in the show notes for those mystery articles, and I think you'll get some good mileage out of those as well. Hey, I'm going to do a couple things different tonight. I've kind of made an internal decision that I'm going to start playing some podcast promos for some other shows now as well. I'm going to play a couple of promos per podcast. Those are going to come from podcastpromos.com, and they're also only going to be shows that are on the Blueberry community. I think it's good to let you guys get a little, find out about some new shows from time to time, and play that in conjunction with audio comments that come in. Let's go ahead and play the audio comment first, and then we'll talk about we'll do some email review, and then we'll play the promos at the very end. So let's go ahead and get into the first voicemail comment.
Hey, Todd, it's John from Lakewood.
Hey, John.
Wanted to chime in about text messaging. I'm a 40-something, close to 50-something, but I'm still in my 40s, so we'll leave it there. Anyway, I text message. I hate it. But I use Google. I text a message to Google and get information back. You're right.
Really?
It's expensive, but it is a substitute for me. I am on Verizon, and I used to text message with a regular keyboard when I was on Singular. But you're right, their data network stinks, and I'm not happy with Verizon either. But I used to tether to my palm and text message with that with a keyboard. Now, the problem is with Verizon, I can't tether, and so I can't use my Bluetooth keyboard to send a message. But I don't like doing this texting through the phone. That just is really bad, but I do it, and my wife and I do it a lot. It's a way to send a text and sort of have a contact without making a phone call. I'm trying to break her of that habit and use the phone. Anyway, I have a stepdaughter, and she sends a prodigious amount of text messaging. She doesn't use her phone. We're on a family plan, and she sends 2,000 plus messages.
Ooh.
A month. So on the unlimited stuff, the amount of text messaging that she sends, we probably get a deal. But what my wife and I use, we're probably spending a lot of money. But I got to tell you, my stepdaughter uses a ton of it. Anyway, that's my 2 cents, okay? Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks so much, and appreciate the comment. You know, tonight, all of a sudden, my phone started getting a bunch of text messages in. I'm like, where are these coming from? And what it was is the folks at Twitter got their IM thing fixed for the distribution on cell phones. And I got like 20 text messages in like 2 minutes. I was like rushing over to the Twitter site and shutting that thing off. I don't want those things coming in. I don't need to be bothered that much. Ding, 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 ding every minute. All right, I think I missed some email on the last show. I'm going to cover a couple of those here real quick. An email from Phil. He said, hey, Tom, I'm surprised you haven't reported this story. And this is a story about about Keith and the girl losing a domain battle challenge. It was a Simpson movie site domain that they had. I'll have a link up to that in the show notes in tonight's user-submitted links. Got an email from Larry. He said, hey, Todd, I think the Windows XP machine running the iPhone display was everything to do with AT&T's IT people supporting the computer running display and nothing to do with Apple and OS X. Maybe you can put your dark AT&T spin on this story and say AT&T's fingerprint retina mind reading software only runs on Windows platform. This message is being sent from the Edge Network. Hope it arrives before the next show. It got here, Larry. Thanks. I appreciate it. You know, it was just a little bit of fun. We had a little fun on Apple's expense. And, you know, we have plenty of fun on Windows when they goof up, too, or Microsoft when they goof up as well. So, but if you're going to have an iPhone display, it better be running on Mac software. Got an email from John. He says, now that movie/TV industry want to charge people for sharing media between their own devices in their own home, regardless of the fact that it isn't currently fair use. He says, this is unfreaking believable. And I've got a link up to this particular article. I think you all will be pretty amazed when you read it yourself. And I have read this particular article. And I'm just like, what are they going to think up next? And I'm telling you, over time, they're trying to remove our fair use capability or fair use rights within our homes and just make us pay. Okay, got a email from Kevin. He said, hey, I think this might be right up your alley. And what it was a 19-year-old was arrested and charged for 20 seconds of recording Transformers. I may have said something about this in the last show, but you know, people should know better these days. Do not take a camera into a movie theater. If you're going to record it, you are going to get arrested if you get caught. It's against the law, and they should have known better. They really should. Got an email from JP. Says, hey, greetings. Another dumb product. Thought you would like to see this article. And what it is, it's a USB fragrance oil drive. So it's a gizmo for geeks. And then if you like those little oils that get heated up, I'll have a link for you in the show notes from JP. Got an email from Lorraine. He says, I have a two-story home. Is there any way to have an incoming voicemail message play simultaneously on both floors so I can stop running downstairs to screen the incoming message, which currently plays on a phone with built-in answering system? Thanks, Lori. Lori, you know, I don't, you know, I guess it depends on the phone you have. And to be honest with you, the way I have my phone is I have, it's just a cheap Uniden, wireless handset. It's got a base station downstairs. It's running on like 5.8 gigahertz and I can listen to the messages on this phone. I don't have to actually go down there. Now my house is small enough. I can hear the messages being played, but if you want to play back, I can play it back via the portable phone. I don't think there's any I've never seen an actual phone system when people dial in and leaving a message where you can actually hear it on the a phone upstairs where, like, there's a repeater system. Maybe someone knows something like that. But every question is a good question. If anybody knows, we'll definitely find out about it between now and the next show. So thanks for your question. And if you're just wanting to get messages off the machine, you know, check out some of these, you know, they're relatively inexpensive multi-handset phones, it'll do that. I got an email from Steven. Hey, say, hey, Todd, I thought you might find this interesting. My wife's number one son is a director of the Global Power Bomber Combined Test Force at Edwards, and he sent me a link to a public U.S. Air Force press release saying that what they're going to be doing is they're going to be some senior level people out at Edwards next week to certify a B-52 bomber that can use synthetic fuel. This is cool. says the Air Force has been working on synthetic fuel blend project over the past year, and he says that 8-engine B-52 is the first Air Force jet to use alternative fuels as part of a new plan to qualify the service entire fleet by 2011. Very, very awesome. And, you know, most jet engines, believe it or not, will run on a wide variety of fuels. Just the temperature burns differently. From country to country that you go to, the blends are different as well, along with the octane levels being different. I think even some jet engines, don't quote me on this because I'm not a jet engine mechanic, but I think you can run diesel. Maybe that's, well, really you can't because there's issues with temperatures as the temperatures get very, very cold and you have gelling that could affect. But most of the fuels are, obviously, if it's designed for aircraft, have to be a, you know, be able to withstand a certain degree of coldness and even heat, too. So, but it is kind of cool to see that they've got that, they've got this certification going down. So, alternative fuels being used by the Air Force. I wonder if they know something we don't. I guess that's a good question. All right, folks, I'm going to play these two promos, and I'll get you out of here. Check these two shows out.
Hubba, hubba, hubba!
Do computers do strange things, especially when you're starting that big lesson? Are you a little technophobic? You want to know how to make your lessons come alive? We'll avoid those glitches by listening to the Tech Pod Zone. See you podside.
Ah, this is so very cool. Wonderful.
You can find their show at techpodzone.com. Here's the next one.
Antipodean Podcast, the place for your latest down under news and views covering science, technology, biotech, the occasional weird and wonderful, and of course, pod safe music. Each week, catch the wave and learn about how the bottom half contributes to global science and technology. You won't hear stories about sport, beer drinking, and roux races, unless, of course, they have a techno bend. Antipodean Podcast. Download now at antipodeanpodcast.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the feed. Hot news from the rest of the world for the rest of the world.
How'd you like that FM-sounding promo? You know, if nothing else, we're going to have a little fun with these promos to see how people put them together, right? If nothing else, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, folks, get you out of here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Thanks for all the great comments. Of course, call the voicemail hotline and fire away 619-342-7365. Tell all your friends about the show. And thanks for being part of the family here. Take care. Aloha.